today, we'll talk about how to have a laid-back Disney World trip. That's coming up on this episode 34 of WDW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert, the creator of WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here today. I'm excited to talk about this topic, which is something that a lot of people who get stressed out in the Disney World planning process have questions about, like, how can I possibly have a trip that's not so intense and where I feel stressed out before I even leave home? So we'll go through some of those strategies here in just one second. And before we do that, I do want to remind you that you can always find me in lots of places, including the website and on social media. I normally mention the Facebook page, but today I'm going to mention Pinterest because it's my other love. Facebook and Pinterest are my favorite social media sites, and that's pinterest.com/WDW Prep School. Just this last week, I put together a board on Pinterest where I sort of curated some Disney themed ideas for Easter baskets. I was in the process of getting some stuff for my own kids' Easter baskets, and I thought this is probably something that people who are going on trips soon will be thinking about because it's a good time to give your kids things related to your trip, like gift cards or new pajamas or costume or, you know, whatever it is, just to get them excited. So I pulled together some ideas there, but I'm on Pinterest several days a week and would love to have you follow me there as well. And as always, I'd like to remind you that iTunes ratings and reviews mean a lot, and you can do that by going through your app on your phone or on the computer. And you can also get there by going to wdwprepschool.com/iTunes, which will take you right there. And I always appreciate reading those ratings and reviews. Now we are going to dive into today's topic. And don't forget that I always have a quick tip of the day at the very end of the episode. So as we dive into today's topic about having a laid back Disney World trip, we have to kind of define some terms and set some ground rules here. Laid back, I'm going to assume people who are laid back either want to do part of their trip less planned or all of their trip less planned. And I'm going to assume that that includes not waking up super early and being at the parks when they open. I'm going to assume that means not choosing the parks for every day of your trip ahead of time. And that that also means not making all your dining reservations ahead of time. And you might want to just do, like, if you are a really laid back person, you might want your whole trip to go that way, which is fine. I'm going to give you some tips today on how to do that. But something that I've done is sort of a hybrid where most of the trip is planned, but I leave some stuff open just to kind of get a feel for what people are into. So for instance, my mom and I went on a trip and I planned all day, all the days except for one, so that I could see if there was a restaurant she was really wanting to eat at or a park she wanted to spend more time at. And we had no issues. We got a good reservation and had a great time. I've also done this with our family trips when it was my husband and I and two kids. And at the end of the trip would often leave a whole day unplanned with no expectations ahead of time, because you just never know ahead of time, especially if it's your first trip, how much you're going to want to do in each park. So for instance, our family loves Epcot. And so when we got there, like a summer before, we realized we really want some more time at Epcot than we had originally thought. And so we ended up spending 3 days out of 10, I think, at Epcot. Other families don't like Epcot at all. And so they might want to spend some time at Magic Kingdom. So there's something to be said for leaving some of your time unplanned, because it allows you to be flexible and kind of go with the flow and customize for your family after you get there and figure out what everybody's into. So some of the tips today might be things that you implement even just for one day of your trip, but you can also use them for your whole trip if you would like to. So first up, as usual, we're going to talk about when to go. And, you know, you can go anytime you want, but I would say that you would want to avoid peak times if you want to be really laid back, because I don't know of too many people that get very much done at Christmas time with a laid back attitude and all those crowds. And frankly, the parks close sometimes or most times at Christmas because they reach capacity. So if you show up too late, you may not even be able to get in. But, you know, avoid the main U.S. holidays, and that includes Christmas and Easter And what else would be really busy? President's Day weekend can be quite busy. You know, generally just avoid those sort of main holidays. Thanksgiving itself, like the few days before Thanksgiving and after Thanksgiving. So, you know, just avoid those and it'll be a little bit easier on you. But so obviously the lower the crowds, the easier it is to be more laid back in your trip. Number two is about where to stay. And of course you can stay any number of places, but to make it the most convenient, I would suggest staying at an Epcot or Magic Kingdom area resort, because that gives you access to one or two parks much more easily than if you have to get on buses and go back and forth. And so, you know, it just cuts out some transportation time in your schedule. And so that includes the Grand Floridian, the Polynesian, the Contemporary, and Wilderness Lodge, which are Magic Kingdom area resorts. And then Epcot, you've got the Beach Club, Yacht Club, Boardwalk, and Swan and Dolphin. And so any of those resorts are going to be really convenient. You can certainly stay other places, but you know, those would allow you to sort of come and go more easily and make it a little bit easier during your trip. Number three on my planning process is to make a daily plan. Now, for people that are planning ahead of time, this normally would involve the process of using the charts that I put out on the website, which I have monthly dashboards for every month, and it has information about the month, including a chart that shows it's a color-coded chart, green, red, yellow, and it makes suggestions about which parks to go to each day of your trip. If you're not planning those ahead of time, then I'm going to give you just a couple of basic rules so that when you wake up on a Tuesday during your trip and you're trying to decide where you want to go, just keep these things in mind when choosing a park. I would avoid a park that has a morning extra magic hour, because if you're not going to get up and go and do the extra magic hour in the morning, you're just going to encounter crowds without the extra magic hour, the perk of the extra magic hour. So avoid those. And then I would avoid any park that's having a special event. So for instance, during the Food and Wine Festival, Epcot's really busy on a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So keep those in mind. And I think that you can probably pick a park and be okay with it. I do think that evening extra magic hours can be quite good. If you are the type of laid back person that likes to stay up late but doesn't like to get up early, evening extra magic hours, particularly at Magic Kingdom, can be quite nice, because the last hour or two is pretty unbusy. So that's a great time to sort of take advantage and get a lot of rides in. I'm not normally a person that recommends extra magic hours, but I do think the evening ones can be quite nice if you are not an early morning person. Step four is dining. And I'm going to, you know, assume, as I said at the beginning, that you're not making dining reservations. And so let's say in step three, you decided, okay, I think this is going to be an Epcot day. And then you know, during that day, you're going to have to figure out where you're going to eat. And so my suggestion is, number one, to stick to quick service restaurants. There are lots of them. For instance, at Epcot, that would be Sunshine Seasons. And there are many good ones throughout the World Showcase as well. You can get fish and chips in the UK section. You know, there's a Chinese location there. You know, there's a lot of different places. Sunshine Seasons is probably the best one. So you can stick to quick service restaurants, number one. Number two is you can book table service restaurants the same day. Now, if you want to eat breakfast with the princesses or one of those sort of hard to get reservations, you're probably going to be out of luck. But if you can kind of give up some of those things and be flexible, there will be some table service restaurants available the same day, most likely. And so I would just, you know, like for instance, if you're going to Epcot, you can pull the app up on your phone and say, I want, you know, what's available today now that we've decided to go to Epcot. And Epcot happens to have lots of table service restaurants. And so I guarantee you there will be things there. For instance, Beer Garden in the Germany section is one of my favorite restaurants. It has a buffet of German food and it has entertainment. And to me, a really good bang for the buck. And usually there is some availability there. So I would do, you know, same day table service restaurants at places that don't book up way in advance. Also, there's a 24-hour cancellation policy where people that do have table service restaurant reservations have to cancel 24 hours ahead of time, or they get a penalty per person. So the same day, there will be openings come up from people that have canceled. And so having the app in this case is hugely advantageous, because you can just pull it up and see what's available and make your reservation on the same day, often at some pretty good places. So that's my recommendation on dining, is to stick to quick service restaurants and book same day table service restaurants, but also give up the idea of some of the sort of really difficult ones, particularly the character dining locations, which are hard to get. Step five is about park touring. Now, the main reason for showing up early, which we almost always do, is to get as many rides in as possible before the crowds arrive. So what I'm going to assume is that you're not going to do that, and I have some tips on every park for how to get away with that. So let's start with Animal Kingdom. Now, Animal Kingdom, there you can easily get a fast pass for Expedition Everest, Safari, and then one other one. Like, you might want to do it for Dinosaur, for instance, or Cali River Rapids, whatever your choice is. And so, you know, there's no tiering in place for fast passes at Animal Kingdom. So you can usually get the three that you want pretty easily. There is also a single rider line for Expedition Everest, which means you can, it's a separate line that you go in, and when they need one person to fill a seat, then you can go. My son and I actually did this on our last trip, and we got lucky and got to sit together. And so that worked out really well. But we were willing to sit separately just to be able to ride it again. So Animal Kingdom's a pretty easy park to do and to arrive late too, because you can have all those top fast passes ahead of time, and you can even ride Expedition Everest again in the single rider line if you would like. Epcot is, you know, Soarin' and Test Track are the only two things that you really, really need fast passes for usually. So my recommendation for people that want to be more laid back is to obtain a fast pass plus reservation for Soarin' and then ride Test Track in the single rider line. And, you know, same concept as Expedition Everest. When they need one person, you can fill the seat. But doing that will allow you to skip the lines, but not necessarily have to wake up early to do it. Your only risk at Epcot in showing up later is that Sum of All Thrills doesn't have a fast pass option at all. And so the lines there would be longer. So if you're willing to give up the idea of riding Sum of All Thrills, then you can probably accomplish just about everything pretty easily at Epcot. Next up, Hollywood Studios. So my suggestion here is to get fast passes for Toy Story Mania, Tower of Terror, and Star Tours, and then ride Rock and Roller Coaster in the single rider line. Now, those four rides I just mentioned are really the only rides usually that you even need fast passes for. So if you get those for a little bit later in the day, you shouldn't have any problem. Everything else pretty much is shows and fairly easy to get into at Hollywood Studios. So take advantage. So the three parks I've mentioned so far have all had single rider options. And so I think you should take full advantage if you want to be a little bit more laid back. But I saved the worst for last, which is Magic Kingdom. It does not have anything. It doesn't have a single rider option, and it has 8 FastPass Plus reservations that I think are high priority. So Magic Kingdom has a lot going on. And I'm going to suggest that if you have the amount of days in your trip that you do multiple days at Magic Kingdom, that'll allow you to break it up, and that you take advantage of evening extra magic hours when those are available, and that you consider attending, you don't have to do all these things, that you consider attending the Halloween party or the Christmas party if they are offered during the days that you're going in September, October, November, or December. And not all those parties are great for skipping the lines on the rides, but most of them are. And that's actually my son's favorite part about the parties, is that you almost have, you know, all the rides to yourself. It's amazing. So if you do that, you can actually accomplish Magic Kingdom fairly easily, but it is going to take a couple of days or a couple of visits to get through all of those rides. So I would highly recommend that. You are going to probably have to give up some things. For instance, right now, Anna and Elsa have a FastPass Plus for beginning people who are visiting April 20th or later. And the FastPass Pluses are hard to get because they are so in demand. And then there's going to be people that want to visit right when the park opens. And so there's things like that that you might have to give up that are just really difficult and really popular. But outside of that, you should be able to accomplish most things. So I hope that is helpful. And of course, all the show notes will be on the site to kind of summarize some of the things I've mentioned here. If you happen to be out and about and can't remember the list of rides that I mentioned or the restaurants I mentioned. So I will write those in the show notes. I do have a quick tip of the day, which is when you are making dining reservations, make them in order of difficulty, not chronologically. So let's say that you have a trip that's going from October 1st to October 8th, and you get online to make your reservations, and you think, okay, I'm going to make my October 1st reservations, then my October 2nd, then my October 3rd. No, that's not the best strategy. The best strategy is to look at all the reservations that you want, pick the ones that are the most difficult, and try those first, and then work down your list. So for instance, the hardest one to get would be our guest for dinner. That's really difficult to get into. So if that's on your to-do list, then put that first. The next category would be breakfast in the park before it opens. So Cinderella's Royal Table or at Kirschus at 8 a.m., those kind of reservations would be the next in line for prioritizing. And then, you know, the less popular ones can be at the bottom of the list. If you have questions about what is the hardest to get, you can email your list of reservations to me, Shannon@wdwprepschool.com, and I will respond with the order that I would make them in. And that way, when it's time to make the reservations, you can do that strategically and hopefully get everything that you want. I hope that that has all been helpful to you today. Of course, all the show notes and information from this episode will be located on the website at wdwprepschool.com/episode34. That is the number 34. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.
Help your small business thrive and stay connected with the Comcast Business Complete Connectivity Solution. It's the largest, fastest, reliable network. Advanced gig speed Wi-Fi and cyber threat protection. Get started for just $40 a month for 12 months with no annual contract when you add mobile. Plus, ask how to get up to a $750 prepaid card. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Ends 2/21/2023. Restrictions apply. Requires EcoBill and AutoPay. New 100 megabits per second internet and Comcast Business Security Edge customers only. Equipment taxes and fees extra. After 12 months, regular rates apply. Gig internet required for gig Wi-Fi.